When my voice seems to fail me and I just can't find the words, I know deep inside me my unspoken prayer is heard. When the storm brings me down on my knees, and the only thing I know to do is plead, Jesus, pray for me. Jesus, pray. Jesus, pray for me. Jesus, pray for me. Lord, I'm asking for you to intercede. Pray for me. When you go to your Father, say a prayer for me. I'm at a loss for words, Lord. You know exactly what I need. My tears are like incense at your throne. You cover me with peace I've never known. Jesus, pray. Jesus, pray for me. Be my voice when I am weak. Say the words I cannot speak. Jesus, pray for me. Jesus, pray for me. Lord, I'm asking for you to intercede. Pray for me. Jesus, pray for me. Jesus, pray for me. Lord, I'm asking for you to intercede. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me.
choir is coming down, we'll ask the children to come forward for our children's moment. Good morning. How are you all doing this morning? Y'all doing all right? Now, Destiny, you had the bag this week, correct? What do we got? Do we have a doll? Is that what we have? And what is your doll's name? Destiny, that's a good name. That's a pretty name. So do you take care of Destiny? Yeah, you watch over her and you help her when she needs help? Yeah. Do you have any other dolls? Yeah, a few. Okay, all right. Well, I never had any dolls growing up, despite what my brother may say. But I did have a teddy bear, and I would take extra care of him, and Joel's got some friends at home that he takes care of, and it's important for us to take care of people, isn't it, and to help out when we can. And it's awesome and wonderful when we get to learn to do that at such a young age. That's right. That's right. So we're called to take care of each other, right? And we do that because we're a family. And earlier when we prayed and when we lift up names of people and when we surround people with prayer, we do so because we're a family, right? And it's important for us to pray and to take care of each other. And we do that because Jesus takes care of us, right? And we have the opportunity to help take care of others. And so I hope and pray that you will continue to take care of Destiny and that you will continue to help take care of others and that all of us will take care of those people that God has placed in our lives. Destiny, who would you like to give this new and improved bag to? Joseph, do you want the bag? You want the bag? Okay, all right. Joseph will bring something next week, all right? Let's pray, okay? And then you guys can go to Children's Church. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you for the care that you take of us. And we pray that you would help us to extend that same care to others. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you all can follow your leaders. Joel, go with them, okay? Go with them. Oh, okay.
Scripture this morning will come from Psalms 52, verses 1 through 9, and I'll be reading from the Common English Bible. Hey, powerful person, why do you brag about evil? God's faithful love lasts all day long. Your tongue devises destruction. It's like a sharpened razor causing deception. You love evil more than good. You love lying more than speaking what is right. You love all destructive words. You love the deceiving tongue. But God will take you down permanently. He will snatch you up, tear you out of your tent, and uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and be in awe. They will laugh at those people. Look at them. They didn't make God their refuge. Instead, they trusted in their own great wealth. They sought refuge in it to their own destruction. But I, like a green olive tree in God's house, I trust in God's faithful love forever and always. I will give you thanks, God, forever, because you have acted. In the presence of your faithful people, I will hope in your name because it's so good. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Linda. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Gracious God, again, we thank you for this day that you have given to us, for that which you have empowered in us, that which you do in our midst, with us, through us, and for us. We pray that you would be now with us as we have heard your word read. Lord, we pray that you would be with the words you have given me to speak. May they be your words and not my words. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, and our minds to comprehend. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 52 this morning is one of many psalms that David wrote. It is attributed to him when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David has gone to Ahimelech's house. And so this is a psalm that David has written, and something that comes to his mind in the midst of his fleeing from Saul, fleeing for his life. David at this point has been anointed king. He knows that he is going to be the king of Israel, and Saul knows that as well, and is rather frustrated. And so David is fleeing for his life. And so it's an extremely difficult time for David. I have to imagine it's a time that is confusing for him, knowing that he's going to be the king, and yet here he is fleeing for his life from God's anointed. And David's only hope here in Psalm 52 and across all of the other psalms that he has written is found in the name of the Lord. Now, David names and speaks of God six times in this passage. In nine verses, he uses the name of God six times. And it's important for us to recognize when we see words repeated over and over again in Scripture that they're probably fairly significant and fairly important. And each reference that David makes speaks of God's action towards people. His action towards those who are wicked, those who devise and celebrate evil, and the righteous, those who seek God, those who want to be drawn closer to Him. David shows what happens when you call on God's name. He is a refuge. He is a place of safety. He is going to bear you up on eagle's wings, as Isaiah tells us. He also shows us what happens when you don't call on God's name. You'll be destroyed. You'll be snatched up. You'll be plucked out. You'll be laughed at by others. Anyone ever been laughed at before? Yeah, everyone's nodding their head. Nobody will raise their hand on that one. Absolutely. And we know that is no good. And yet here, there is a sense of the righteous laughing at the demise of the wicked, because of God's grace. We know from other psalms, others that David has written, that David knows God by many different names. And each name represents an experience that David has had with God. We have some psalms where he speaks of God as a shield and defender, right? Psalm 23, of course, speaks of him as the good shepherd, one who will protect and who will oversee and who will bring to places of safety. He speaks of him as almighty, powerful. These terms that David is very familiar with in his life as a general and as a soldier. And I wonder this morning, as we hear David calling out to God and speaking God's name, how do you typically refer to God? What names do you use when thinking or speaking of God? Every time I do a confirmation class, we'll go over the different names of God, and I'm just intrigued by all of the various names for God and all of their various meanings and all of the attributes and characteristics we learn about God as we seek to know Him more and as we hear these different names. So what names of God resonate with you today? How have you experienced God in your life? One of my favorite names for God is Emmanuel. It has been a name that I have leaned on very heavily in my life from time to time. God with us. And of course, we hear that and we think of sweet little baby Jesus, Emmanuel. But we also need to be reminded of the great and powerful God who is with us always. Often when I pray, I refer to God as Heavenly Father or Gracious God. And of course, these are terms that, again, mean something to me, and that's why I address Him that way when I'm praying. Word is a very important name of God for me. My favorite scripture passage in all of Scripture, if I can be so bold as to pick one, is John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son, filled with grace and truth. It's been my favorite passage since the eighth grade, and something that I have thought on and preached on many times, and I'm sure you all will get tired of me preaching on that eventually, but probably not right away. And then, of course, Jesus, right? That all-important name of God that we are expected to call upon, and that we have the opportunity to call upon. It never fails when I'm out talking with somebody or meeting somebody that doesn't necessarily go to church to say, oh, I believe in God, especially when they find out I'm a pastor. Well, you're a pastor? Yeah, I believe in God. I went to church once over here, you know, several years ago. I believe in God. And it's been only here recently that I've gotten the courage to say, well, that's great, but do you believe in Jesus? God means a whole lot of different things to a whole lot of different people. Jesus, on the other hand, is pretty specific. That's great that you believe in God. That's a good starting point. But do you believe in Jesus? Because if you want to meet the Father, you need to know the Son. That's how it works. There's great power in names. Power that causes hope in the lives of all of us. Names do many different things, and I want to talk a little bit about names this morning. The first thing that names do or can do is spur positive and negative emotions. Names of people, names of places can remind us of wonderful things, wonderful times, wonderful experiences, but they can also remind us of hurtful times, right? Of times that we would probably much rather forget. I can remember as Abby and I were thinking of names for Joel, and she was shooting down every name I threw out there, and Nora. We would mention a name, and the other one would kind of veto that, say, I've known people in my life by that name, and I don't want to have to be reminded of that person. I certainly don't want my child to be named after that person. I can sense that there are some of you that have had this conversation a time or two. There are some names that kind of make, I won't say those names because there may be some people in here with those names, but there are names that have less than favorable connotations in my mind. And so we want to stay away from those. The problem here with this, with the positive and negative emotions that can be spurred in names, is that they cause us more often than not to attribute everything to God. And while God is indeed the author of all things, He doesn't cause all things. He doesn't sit up there thinking, I'm going to mess with you today, I'm going to bless you today. You know, He doesn't do that. But we often attribute these things to God, and that's really kind of unfair, isn't it? Because when something bad happens, well, God must be testing us. Well, no, maybe you're just stupid and you made a bad decision. Anybody ever made a bad decision before? I can't believe the pastor just says stupid in church. Oh, my gosh. God doesn't cause everything, but He allows everything. He allows things to happen because He knows that He's going to turn it around and work it for good. That's what He does. That's what He is in the business of doing. Not every negative experience is a test from God. And we would do well to remember that today. God isn't necessarily testing you. It's just life. And He's there with you. He is Emmanuel in the midst of that. Notice here in this passage that David, and really in all the Psalms that he writes, he never blames God. Right? He never uses any names for God that would put the blame on Him for anything that's going on. Saul, however, has forgotten God's name, right? And so he's paranoid, he's angry, and he's seeking to destroy rather than to build up. Names can spur positive and negative emotions within us. The second thing that names do is they identify. God even changes names from time to time. Everyone in here that has a name, that's all of you, Do you know what your name means? A few of us do. My name means gift of God. Pretty appropriate, I think. I'm a little biased on that. But yes, praise God. Absolutely. I don't like to brag, but well, my name is. It's not bragging if it's true, I guess. We notice in Scripture that God changes names, though, doesn't he? He hasn't changed mine to Mara yet, to Bitter, but that's, thank goodness. But we have Abraham, or Abram turning to Abraham, father of many nations. We have Jacob's name being changed to Israel, the people of Israel, God's people that he works through. We have Saul's name being changed to Paul, and the great transformation that took place in this renaming. Names also identify God, as we've already kind of alluded to and will continue to allude to this morning. And as we continue to identify God, I think it helps us not to take his name in vain. Now, there's a lot of confusion around the third commandment, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. And I want to kind of clarify that today. When this was being written, and when Moses was on the hill, he was not thinking about someone typing OMG into their cell phones. Oh my God is not a way of taking God's name in vain. It simply isn't. Because that's not what the process was. That's not what was going on in the lives of the people. Doing something and taking God's name in vain means doing something that his name is opposed to. It means doing something that you know is not God's will and ascribing his name to it. Crusades would be a great example of that. We're going to kill you in God's name. I don't think that was quite what they had in mind. Slavery, right? They use God's name to promote slavery, right? We see Martin Luther King helping us understand not to take God's name in vain during his ministry and time together. God's name should never be used to hurt others. It should never be used to promote yourself. And it should never be used to push an agenda. That is taking God's name in vain. And you better know who God is before you attempt to speak for him. My very first Sunday here, I was talking, I think, with Mr. Anderson. I don't remember how we got on this conversation, but I mentioned that I was nervous. And he goes, well, there's nothing to be nervous about. Well, easy for you. You know everybody here. And then I think he even asked me this morning, you know, you nervous? Goes, yeah, I'm nervous. What am I doing right now? I'm speaking on behalf of God this morning. This is a nerve-wracking thing. I'm always a little anxious before I get up here because I'm speaking on behalf of God. When I pray before I preach, Lord, may the words I say be yours and not mine, it doesn't get any more real for me than that right there because I don't want to take God's name in vain, and certainly not in this place. Names can spur positive and negative emotions. Names help to identify. Thirdly and finally, names give power. To know someone's name means you have a certain power over them. In Jesus' time, and even in David's time, if you knew someone's name, it was believed that you had power over them. Now, for some of us, maybe that's a little confusing, but if I know your name, I have power over you. Did you know that? Because I'll say your name, and what are you going to do? You're going to stop what you're doing. You're going to turn. And you're going to say, what do you want, preacher? Or something like that, right? So I've had the power to stop you with what you're doing. Now, the only exemption to that rule is when a man is watching TV and his wife calls his name. Sorry, what? What? Huh? Right? Yeah, true. When you know someone's name, you have power over them. That's why Jesus is quick to keep the demons from speaking when he heals. Have you ever noticed that? He says silence. He doesn't allow them to say his name because he does not want to give them any power. But then what does he tell the disciples? What does he tell us? I want you to call on my name. I want you to have that power over me that you can call on my name and I will intercede, I will pray for you, I will do for you. I want you to speak on my behalf. We have the power of the universe at our fingertips when we call on the name of Jesus Christ because he wants us to. Consider the power God gives us each time he reintroduces himself to us through the experiences that we have, and we learn who he is in a different way. Consider the power that we have. Consider how much better we know him. God desires us to call upon his name because his name is so good. It's important for us to know this morning that God refuses to simply be known by one name. And he refuses to be known in only one way. The greatest problem and the greatest temptation we as Christians have today is a failure to continue seeking God after we have initially met him. The biggest problem we have in the church today, and the biggest reason why people say, well, we've never done it that way, is because you had this grandiose experience with God at some point in your life, and you're continuing to try to relive that rather than to step out and see how else he wants to introduce himself to you. That's what holds the church back. We try to relive the past rather than moving forward and getting to know God a little bit better. Any amens on that? Okay, a few. I'll take it. You aren't growing if you aren't learning the names of God. Anybody know how many different names for God there are in Scripture? Well, okay, never mind. It's up there on the screen. Over 900 names for God. Rick, you and I are going to talk. No, I'm just kidding. There are over 900 names of God in the Bible. This morning on your bulletin, you'll see on the cover there are some different names. I want to encourage you to maybe circle some of those names that resonate with you. I've circled a few of mine. And maybe put a check mark or something next to one that maybe you've never heard of or you're a little unfamiliar with. And then this week, I want you to look it up. Google it, Wikipedia it, old school it, and go to the library, however you do that. And learn a little bit more about who God is. Because he is indeed a very great God. And if we only have a few names for him, we have failed to understand the breadth and the infiniteness of our Heavenly Father. Every experience you have with God should reveal a new name, a new characteristic, a new aspect of God's love in your life. It just should. It will. Every single time. It never fails. But the name above all names that we need to be aware of and to be reminded of this morning is Jesus Christ. All of the 900 plus names in Scripture point to Christ. There are an infinite number of ways to come to Jesus, but there is only one way to come through to the Father, and that is through Jesus. And we do well to remember that today, because at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Not at the name of Shield or Defender or Almighty God, but at the name of Jesus. May we never shy away from knowing and calling on the name of Jesus this morning, knowing that he has given us authority to have that power over him. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day that you have indeed given to us, for your love and grace, for your mercy. Lord, may we strive to know you better each and every day. May we seek to know your names and to understand who you are more fully in our lives so that we can more fully share your love and grace with others. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.